deet.
We forgot how to do it.
We forgot how to podcast.
You're selling your home.
It's like writing a podcast.
That's like writing a podcast. You just get right back on.
You just hop back on that podcast and I can tame it. Tame it. Hiya! Hiya! Settle down there, podcast. Hey! Just got to break a podcast. I'm just breaking in a podcast here.
The biggest news since we haven't been together is that you're selling your house.
That is the biggest news.
You're selling your house.
Yes, in terms of newsworthy events, that's one.
And do you think that it's now hard to be a realtor?
Well, I used to make fun of realtors.
Yeah.
And it is a little, well, I mean, the thing is you can get screwed as a realtor, right? Because people are fucked. Mm-hmm. So they're like, I want to sell this for $712,000. And then you're like, but if you're desperate, there's no worse job in the world than being a desperate realtor.
Yeah.
Because some asshole, like, you can't find any normal people. It's only crazy people that are using you. So they're like, I want to sell this for $1.2 million. And then you look at it and it's a cardboard box and you're like, I'm your man. I'm absolutely desperate to sell homes. I need this cash so bad. And then you have to like talk them off a ledge of like, maybe let's start at $840,000. And they're like, well, the Bill and Claire just sold theirs.
Yeah.
That's correct. They had a fucking real house, you moron. So you have to, and then they can just walk away. They can make you look at 50 houses.
Yeah.
And be like, well, I want one with 19 closets. This one only has 12. They're like, holy fuck this bitch.
It's because too many people watch House Hunters and they think that they're all their checklists are so important. What
I
are
need
your
a
must
garage.
Needs?
It must be a detached. It has to have a garage with a fucking, it's got to have all these, you know, and it's like, just get a house, you dumb fuck. Where are you going to live? Just live. Just sit down and live. What are you doing in there? What are you doing? What do you need that? I need 2.5 bathrooms. I need this. I need, shut up, you know? So I would hate being a realtor. If I was a successful, if you could start any job as a success, you'd love it.
Oh, be a realtor. Like, yeah.
The successful realtor is great because you just have you have assistants. You're like, send the plebs out to do the showings.
Yeah.
I only deal with people who are buying $8 million mansions.
Yeah.
But to be a desperate new realtor, the worst.
Desperate realtors, that would be a worst. Really good show.
Of course there's desperate realtors. There's a million, there's 10,000 realtors.
Is your realtor desperate?
No.
No.
No, he's just like, all right, I'll say,
How did you find him? Did you just call him?
He was one of my,
Why isn't Terry Peranich your realtor?
Terry Peranich.
That's
because now
shocking.
Terry Peranich is a life coach now.
Oh, he's not even a realtor anymore?
No, I think he was barred from... how do you get disbarred from selling homes? I don't know. I don't know how you do that. He just had... Yeah, I don't know what he did,
so
but
now
he
he's
did
a life
something.
Coach?
So, yeah, now he's like... He'll say stuff online that's like, keep working and getting your grind on. And then it'll just say Terry Peranich, as if it's a fuck... As if
like
he's,
it's his
yeah,
quote?
he's the... There's nothing worse than the guy who like quotes himself with stuff, phrases that are in the world.
Also, people that keep on saying, get your grind on, grind my gears.
Yeah, get your grind on, get grinding.
What does that mean, get your grind on?
Work harder. Like, okay.
Okay, yeah, I'll do more shows tiny little towns.
Doing more. Get your keep grinding, and I'll continue to ignore you, but getting your grind on is half the fun. Just grinding and getting no money and grinding.
Grinding on out.
I don't care how old you are. Continue to grind.
The thing I will say about realtors, though, is they are excellent writers.
They are pretty good.
Because
they make ours sound good.
House sounds beautiful. Not that it's not.
It isn't. It is.
But it
isn't.
Sounds stunning and gorgeous.
It sounds stunning and gorgeous.
It says that this
I did. Yeah, I was talking about that.
Yeah,
how
this is a house fish right here.
You can get house fished.
Like the pictures are like do represent it well. Like I don't feel like these pictures were taken 5 years ago when you were here. They are now. This is what your house looks like now.
Exactly.
Someone's
not
going to show up and be like, Jesus Christ, this house is fat.
This house got smaller. Like what happened to this house? This house shrank over the course of this house is older than it appeared.
I just like the beginning of it. It sounds so quaint. This charming bungalow is situated on a huge lot in a quiet cul-de-sac. Are you in a cul-de-sac even?
Yeah, because the end is trees, I guess. Oh, yeah, so it's like a dead end road.
So instead of a dead end
road. Dead end road. This is situated at the near the end of a dead end road. Do you like just driving into trees?
Just steps from the river valley. Where's just the other steps. Part that made me laugh? Where's the walk into the living room thing? There. Step into the inviting living room.
Ooh.
Flooded with natural light.
Flooded. Step into the basement flooded with natural water.
I just like, from the river, I think that is a skill though, to like make like a shit, not I'm saying your house is a shithole, but make a shithole sound stunning.
No, but yeah, you're right. It makes it sound like, ooh, you've got, I must see it.
I must see this house.
Well, and the craziest part is the modern showings, like now that we all have cameras on the front, now that you can see,
you can see people.
You can see everybody come up, you can see them in the backyard, you can see them leave, and everybody has cameras.
Yeah.
And usually they show your whole yard and your whole front yard, so you can see them come up. So sometimes, like, you know, in the 1990s, you're like, okay, we've got, it's, we have a showing at 1. We got to start cleaning big time at noon.
Yeah,
we've got, and then dust everything and get everything put away and put the bread in the oven. Hide everything. Hide our life. Hide everything we do. Put the condoms in the cat's mouth. But so you have to get everything ready from noon to one. Then you have to vacate at 12:45 to go sit in a fucking Tim Hortons parking lot with your family. And then somebody comes up to your house and just stands there and then yanks on an awning. Just grab. Let me test this awning. Test it! Like, so like one of our showings was just, no, they didn't even go in the house. They just, one lady grabbed an awning and just yanked on it.
And it was like,
I don't like that. I tested their awnings and they failed my awning test. I'm like, bitch, this is a showing, not a fucking pull. And you
not
know what I mean?
Awning.
You can't just, not an awning pull. I'm going to go in his house and test everything. But some people will. They'll go in your house and just fucking, let me just test how robust this shower head is.
Yay! Oh, my God.
I'm allowed to. I'm at a showing. I'm a potential buyer.
I'm a potential buyer.
And they don't have to do anything. They just walk through your house. They have an hour. So we had some people that walked through and, like, looked and, you know, was in the yard. But as soon as you see pointing, you're like, it's over.
Yeah.
They're not, no.
Yeah.
They're not buying it.
If you see pointing and then like
any, this, yeah, like I don't know about
their
that.
Mouths, yeah.
These windows are, I don't know.
Yeah.
As soon as, yeah, the pointing and the whispers and the couples.
The tile in the bathroom looks like it slid down the wall
the first time he tried to install it. It looks like he failed at this first. Like, it looks okay now, but it looks like somebody failed at this before it worked out.
Yeah, you don't want to hear people going through your house.
You definitely don't.
You definitely do not want to hear
that. And realtors, you know, it's a closed circuit. They've done a pretty good job of keeping real people out. You can't just go and look at a house. You can't just be on the street and be like, I want to go look at that.
Yeah, unless it's an open house.
Well, you still need a realtor.
You can't just walk in?
No.
I thought open houses you could just walk in.
You can't just waltz into an open house. Like,
my mom and I used to just waltz into open houses. Yeah.
I think in the modern times, they've closed that loop. They just have like a key that a realtor will have the code for.
No, an open house though, when the realtor just
No, I know what you
house.
Mean. Yeah, but we went to some open houses and we were like, hello, and just knocked and
there
nothing.
There?
Nobody
what?
Was there. Because but then there was a key lock on the front.
That's
so you contact your realtor and your realtor okays it with them. And then so it's still an open house. You can still go. It's still, but there's no realtor there. You can just go in with your realtor.
Well, because Wendy McGee and I used to always go on like Sundays around.
It was like garage sailing for you guys.
We'd go and look at houses that we could never afford. And
that is kind of
fun. We'd eat the cookies that they'd have out.
That's kind of cool. I don't know if they still do it like that. I don't know if open houses still work like that because they had to close the circuit, right?
Yeah.
There was too many comfreys and bricks and the.
Oh, yeah.
So there's too many people trying to crack the code of realty and drive their prices down.
Yeah.
And they were like, we got to close the loop. So now there's one website, realtor.ca. That's it. There's no other really, like, because other, if you're just on the internet and you're looking, you're like, I want to look at that. They're like, that's pending. That's been pending for 9 months.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know because you're not on, you didn't get a code from your realtor to look at that site, to look at the secured site or whatever. So, but I don't blame them.
Yeah.
That's their livelihood, right?
Yeah,
it's definitely weird. Showings are weird.
Yeah.
Just people in my house. I don't like people.
You should have just stayed at your showings and like just sat
Hi there.
Watch TV. I'm just watching TV. Go ahead, look around.
Go ahead. Fucking say what you want.
Say what you want.
Well, you could definitely tell, like, ours was only on for, like, a few days, so everybody's still in busybody mode, where, yeah. like, make sure you dust over the... Oh, my God, the fan has dust. But there was some that we looked at that had been on the market for 80 days, and you could just tell. Like, yeah, so you walk into their house, and you're like, ooh, like, all they did was, like, put the fucking ashtray under the couch. You know, they didn't do anything.
There's houses I've looked on realtor.ca where they literally, it looks like a hoarder lives there, and they're still posting the pictures. Like, that's how desperate people are for real estate right now.
I can't. There was one yeah. that we looked at that was like, I was like, these photographs are almost like what you would send your realtor of the things that you need to be fixed before yeah. we sell. It was like, there's one house, and it was like, photograph number one is a sink with the dirt in it. Just a close-up of a sink with dirt. Yeah. And then the next one was a hot water tank with duct tape on it. And they were zoomed in on the duct tape. And then a window that was dirty and broken. And I'm like, what are... These are your home photos? Pictures? Like, this is your pictures, bitch?
This,
like,
is a terrible dating profile.
And our realtor was like, yeah, some realtors are not smart.
No.
He's like, you know, some of them are just like, what photos did they send me on that USB stick? Upload it to the site.
Oh, my God.
But I don't know if people are, you know, the market's weird, I guess. I don't know. Like, some if a house is a, like, basically they're like, if a house is kind of a deal, it's yeah. getting snapped up. And if a house isn't a deal, it'll stay on for a long time. Huh. People aren't getting mortgages for big houses anymore. So, like, if you're in a fancy neighborhood, 750, 800,
yeah.
It's harder to sell those homes now. People aren't qualifying for those kinds of mortgages.
Yeah.
Average people aren't. Yeah. So then our little fucking box is like, I guess so. All right. Is this what we've been reduced to?
Did you find a new
Lord?
House?
We're sort of looking at places, whatever. My kids like, there's this one place my kids like because it has a hot tub.
Fuck yeah.
But there's no garage.
Oh, fucking. Look, no kids garage. Kids don't care about garages. You can build a garage,
I don't really,
Dad.
Yeah, I'm one of the only males in Fort Saskatchewan that is like, no garage is not a deal breaker. You know, like, I'm that much of a puss. That, like, I don't even need a garage.
I don't have tools to
put
in there.
If I could fix something, I'd do it in a shed.
Yeah, I have enough shit for a shed, but not
yeah,
a garage.
Yeah, like, I'll just fucking do it inside, I guess, if I'm fixing something. What about when you're fixing your car? When am I ever fixing my fucking car? I don't even do my brakes anymore.
Yeah, why would you?
I used to do my brakes all the time.
Really?
And they were always wrong. Like, I would, like, like, those are fine. Like, everybody who got in my car was like, when did you do the pads? Like, like, it already sounded like it was on that strip. Like,
oh, the squeaking.
Yeah, when they were brand new. Not grinding,
oh,
but
I've
yeah.
I've had a grinder before. And it kept
you had
driving.
A bit of a grinder? Oh, yeah. No, I've definitely fucked up some brakes big time.
I sold my Saturn, and I'm like,
well, because you get used
to. They grind.
Because you get used to how far
yeah,
you have to press.
My car was grinding.
Your car was grinding
my
more than you were. You got to get your grind
my
on.
My car was booking festivals, selling houses.
Watch it.
It was doing great. It was such a grinder, that one.
Yeah, no, I didn't enjoy. No, you get used to how far you have to press to make it stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, other people are like, I like to press my foot a little bit and stop. And I'm like, sometimes you got to go to the floor with this. Sometimes you got to push this bitch. And then I just get used to having to push it to the floor.
Yeah, and then you pick up a rental car, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that breaks fast.
Somebody
that
left
normal?
The emergency brake on. Whoa. I can't even move without braking.
Whoops, sorry, not used to brakes that work.
I'm not used to. Usually you've got to fucking ram it. Like, hey, can I cut a hole? Maybe if I, instead of fixing my brakes, I'll cut a hole in the bottom of my car so that I can push it down even farther.
I'll put a Fred Flintstone is put like rear. my heels down.
It was kind of strange. I don't know. But yeah, it's, yeah, the showings. And then I'm looking at the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, when we go to other houses to look, I'm like, I like where he stopped painting. That's a nice paint line. He used tape on that, I bet.
What are you supposed to be looking for?
Well, the realtor's like, you know, what are you fucking, look at the windows. Look at the fucking big, you know, look at the sunroof. Look at, you know, like, try to look for major problems.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know, the baseboards are really, He didn't even paint at all on the baseboard when he did it. I like that. And then other things that I'd see somebody like paint over the base. Like when I see paint that is like looks slathered and they didn't use tape and it's like not precise at all, I'm like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Your OCD goes, whoa.
Somebody will be like, it's still a great house. I'm like, yeah, but look at what he did to the garage paint. He didn't put any, he didn't use any tape. He just lathered it and it's one coat. You know, just because it says one coat on the thing doesn't mean it's one coat. It's marketing, you fucking loser. It needs two coats.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you, when you bought your house, how did that go? Was it?
When I bought my condo?
Yeah.
It was like my realtor. I was an idiot. First of all, I was like too like young to. And then my mom didn't come with me that day because we got into a big fight.
Ugh. Oh, God. Bad timing.
Bad timing, Wendy.
Because you guys were yard sale buddies.
We were yard sale buddies. But yeah, then I'm like, I bought this. I didn't even look at that many. But yeah, I should have definitely asked more questions and done more stuff. Mm-hmm. More research and stuff. But
how many did you look at? Like, were
like
you
probably
did
like five.
Okay. I wouldn't have done much more than that. I'd like to get it over with.
I know. I wanted to get over with two, but like, I don't know. And then I never listened to them when they say this neighborhood is turning around. Never. It's never turning around. It will not turn around. When I'm dead, that condo is going to be worth $500,000 because the next day they're going to like turn it around.
Yeah. They're always like, don't worry. All these poor people, they'll be gone.
Yeah.
Because you know where poor people go when they don't have money? Nowhere.
Nowhere.
They go nowhere.
Poor they go and don't camp fucking at Boyle Street.
Yeah, they're like chimpanzees. Poor people are like chimpanzees where they're like, no, this is my ancestral tree. This is my tree and my family's tree. And I'll walk the perimeter and get any other chimpanzees out of here.
I saw somebody
they're very chimpanzee-like.
On a concrete, the building next to us, they have this big concrete pad. And there's someone who put up a tent on it, like, you think they're going to come out and be like, let them stay.
When we were in Denver, there was like a family that lived on a concrete pad where like a piece of commercial real estate had obviously like fallen through or something. Yeah. And it was just a concrete pad in the middle of downtown Denver.
But they were
and there was just a family like squatting, living there like it was a house. There was like a kid had a bed over there. And then the dad had a TV, had a little TV. And he was sitting, it was like plus 38. It was so hot. And the dad's like watching television. I'm like, how the fuck is he watching television? But yeah, they had really built quite a life for themselves on this concrete pad downtown in Denver.
Oh my God. People are just like popping up wherever they please now. And I know times are tough and everything, but
they ain't that fucking tough. Not when you got a robust GoFundMe.
I went to the, that's nice. I'm just loved, Sean.
But the condo. Yeah, because because that's the thing too is you're scared. I'm scared of buying stuff. I'm scared of it.
Yeah, because I got fucked so hard.
Yeah, it's fearful. There's a fear to like, I guess I'll buy this and then like, and then can I afford it? I don't know.
And then like I'll buy something and it'll end up being like some trash palace that they just put a bunch of paint on and like made it look nice, but there's just like mold everywhere.
And my income is so tenuous where they could be like, we're not going to use it anymore. And you're like, okay, well, don't tell CIBC. Please don't call CIBC and tell them that you're not going to book me for that show anymore. Because if they found out, I'd really
CIBC's
be fucked.
CIBC's going to be calling you, Booker, and finding out if I work for you regularly. Hi there.
You're on the over my dead body list.
I am on an over my dead body. So are you. We're both on an over my dead body list.
Sorry, Sean, but the underwriter did call the booker and he said that he only uses you for stuff when your name is brought up by the client. He never uses you if there's an open pitch.
No.
And so unfortunately that puts you over the debt ratio limit and you qualify for staying where you currently live. Aw, that's too bad.
But you are still going to have to sell your home and rent from the people you sell to. Yes.
And then you can do showings when you're pending, you know, like you. So like right now it'd be like pending.
That's silly.
Well, because somebody can do an this really scary part is the inspection.
Yeah.
Because the person is like, I'll buy it for that price. Do an inspection.
Your own inspection before so you know about anything? Or that's just a waste
Maybe
of money?
Maybe I should have. I don't know. I don't know what people do. But like the person who wants... Yeah, it's like so they pay like $500, $600, get an inspection done, and then they come back with a list of 12 things like, well, I don't know. And then the person can just walk away. They can just be like, that list is long.
Yeah.
That list of things is long.
But if somebody and our house falls is old, it was built in.
Yeah, like with our house, they would sort of be like, "I want this backyard. It's a big backyard.
Big yard, yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah,
and steps from the river valley. Don't eat the fish. Human waste is pumped into it.
You can see the prison.
They're just
from
pumping
here.
Human waste right into that fucking river.
They are? Like,
oh, for sure they are. There's Ew. A lot of human waste.
People are really like I've seen people like floating in the Fort Saskatchewan Gravy. River, and I'm like,
I used to
what
swim
is
in that.
Wrong with you?
I used to swim in the. And now I look at it, and I'm like, why did I swim in it? Look at the current. Like, I could have
it's
been
scary.
Pulled away and dead.
Yeah.
But I was out there swimming along in the river, like,
that's
with
crazy.
A current that could have dragged me away.
Maybe in Calgary in their shallow pussy river, but not
in their
in
little
this
bitch river.
Real fucking river.
Real man's river.
In a real man's river.
Not in a man's
not
river.
Not in some pussy
you
river.
You can die in a man's river.
Yeah, but you can't drown in the Bow River.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
And it's much cleaner, too. Like, you can actually see the bottom of it.
But yeah, I could have lived my whole life without moving again.
I hate moving so much. It's not fun at all.
No, because you don't know what people might like. They might, you know, you feel like you're putting yourself open for this massive rejection.
Yeah.
Where like you leave your house, you clean it up as nice as you can, and you go, here you go. What do you think? And then they go 212.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to fucking burn your garden down.
Yeah.
212.
212. You're
like
going to
they can yank
below.
On your awnings, not even look at your house. They can do whatever the fuck they want. Like some people came and looked and didn't even go in. They just stood and looked at it and left. Like I said, this one lady came and just yanked on an awning and left.
Oh my God.
Like these are, we had to leave our house for this shit.
We had
like
to sit in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Drinking ice caps.
And then you're watching them in their backyard, kind of like kicking stuff. And you're like, hey, get away from that fucking, don't you be kicking on that.
Someone kicks your cat.
Don't you be kicking on my dog run. Yeah, it's falling apart. What of it? It's baked into the price. Everything you're touching and hating is baked into the price.
It's been evaluated and is a fair market price. It is a
it's
fair
all been accounted
price.
For, fucking Kicky McKicks. Don't be pointing and kicking on my shit. Get out of here. I don't want you to live there. You know.
I just hate moving because I hate like. Well, I like moving because I get rid of a lot of stuff usually. Like when I move, I'm like,
God,
I do not want to move this. I do not want to move this. Here, have it. But we had to move my mom like 3 times. And
really?
She was a hoarder. And she made us move her hoard. We would be like, Mom, you don't
usually
need
hoarders...
4 boxes of Family Circle magazine from 1980s. Like,
that,
you don't
she
need
is such
this.
A unique personality.
It really is.
Because usually hoarders are like, their number one hoard is their home.
Yeah, they don't ever want to leave it.
They don't
want
to leave the home. They're like, I love all these boxes and everything's where it's supposed to be and I love my cupboards. And maybe one day they brought a realtor in and the realtor was like, you could probably get $212.80 for it. And they were like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Ever since Rick died. And then they start crying about a death. And then you find out why they have all these spoons. Because some fucking loser died 12 years ago. So you got to keep every piece of paper he fucking spit on.
He licked that envelope.
No,
Do
he touched
that
once.
Do not throw that out.
Do not throw out that can of soup. It's not even fucking.
I
remember watching.
What she was hoarding, though.
I watched an episode of The Hoarders where this woman, like, they tried to throw out a can of soup on her. Her family was like, they're like, we're going to throw this out, Nana. It's, you know, from 1995. And she's like, it's not even bowed out yet. And then you look at all her other soups, and they're so old that they went poof, like a little pop, like they were all popped out.
Inside.
Yeah, they popped out like a fat belly Campbell's soup thing. They were so old. And she's like, that's not old. It hasn't even fucking expanded on it and degraded on itself yet.
I don't know. My mom's like, my mom wasn't, I don't think, a sentimental hoarder as much as she was just like, I'll use it. I'll use it one day. I'm like, you're not ever going to use it. It's been in a box for 5 years. You're never going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, no, that will be. And I remember when like she died and we went through all our stuff. And I'm like, well, maybe we're going to find something really cool.
Valuable.
Mm-mm.
No.
There wasn't a thing.
Everything.
Not a thing.
Yeah, everything was.
She didn't have an estate and she didn't have a fun little treasure
Perfect.
For us to find.
Yeah.
Other than the letter that we found that she wrote to my dad after they divorced that she never mailed.
A trace of his dick.
Oh my God.
No, not that.
No,
not
it
a,
was
not a dick tracing.
It was pretty interesting. But
so you only found the little love letter. That
well,
was
I found
it.
That. I found other, like, I found letters that I'm like, Mom, you are a human being. It's so weird when your parents die and you like, I've talked to other people about it that have like looked and like found like love letters and they were like kind of like raunchy and I'm like, yeah, Mom, like, I didn't know you fucked. You.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I didn't know that. You gotta get over here and I'll give you a quick suck.
Yeah. And then like I looked up these guys that she had like been in a thing with and they're still alive and I was really tempted to message one of them, but I didn't.
Did
but
she
was...
ever blow you like she said she would in that letter?
Did my mom ever blow you? Because let me tell you.
Because you never had to move her, you lucky fuck. If she blew her. You 10 times, I'm going to come over there and punch you in the face. Because you were never there to help move. It was always me and some other people who don't even have dicks that could be sucked.
Oh my God.
I don't even have a dick.
Yeah.
My mom couldn't suck my dick. Even. I don't have a dick for my mom to suck. And here I am moving boxes.
Wendy McGee didn't know she was such a cocksucker.
She really
did not know
liked...
until she passed away and we found
But no, we, yeah, because hoarding, yeah, hoarding is a bad one.
I feel
one
like
where...
I'm not a hoarder. I'm a mild, like, I keep too much stuff that I don't need. And I'm a shopaholic. Like, I buy too much shit that I have no business owning. I'm like, I'm never going to wear this. Why did I buy this, like, sequin mermaid style gown that I'm never going to wear anywhere?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a whole lot of people in this generation who think their parents or their mom has money.
Yeah.
And then when they pass away, they'll be like,
find out.
They'll open the garage door and see 800 Amazon boxes.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, that mommy had a problem.
Oh, that's so
Mama
it's the
had
ADHD
a problem.
Too. It is like the ADHD because like impulse shopping is getting that rush of buying things.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got diagnosed, my doctor, because I got diagnosed a month after my mom died, she asked me, do you think your mom had ADHD? I'm like, for sure, Wendy had it.
It was probably through the roof.
Through the roof. Crazy. Like, my mom had a really good government pension.
Yeah.
And we had, like, no, nothing. She left us nothing. And she always told us she was going to leave us nothing. She never was, because she's like, I'm spending my money now.
Nothing. What does your dad say?
Nothing. My dad doesn't talk about that stuff.
My dad doesn't bring that up.
My dad's
up.
Just a quiet Buddhist. But
yeah, he doesn't
no,
talk
but
money.
Like my mom was like, I'm like, where are you spending? What is going on? But then like we find out how much she was paying in car insurance because she was driving around like.
And you can tell when people have big inheritance energy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it should be. I don't know if it's a phrase or not, but it should be big inheritance energy.
Yeah.
Where they're kind of currently poorish.
Yeah.
But they know they've got 1.8
coming to them. Yeah.
Right. So they got this sort of. You're like, you're poor. I don't know why you're acting so weird. And it's like, because I'm going to be motherfucking rich.
Right. Like if I had big inheritance energy, my condo being worth absolutely nothing would not bother me because I'd be like, oh, I got money coming to me. I'm just going to pay it off when I get that money.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make my money. But yeah, no, yeah. Big inheritance energy is a real thing.
For sure it is.
Yeah.
I had friends that like whenever their grandparents called, before I understood like money, really, whatever, their grandparents would call and they would drop fucking everything. Like we'd be watching X-Files, like season finale X-Files, like, oh my God, what's going to happen before you can pause television?
Yeah.
Can't pause this. And if you're going to record it, it's too late.
Yeah.
I don't have any tapes. All my tapes have Oilers games from the 80s. So you're just watching the X-Files. You're like, this is the best episode I've ever seen. And then their grandparents would call and they'd be like, boom, shut that fucking television off. Shut everything off. The washing machine goes, Grandma!
Grandma!
And it's like, because they knew, like, this is more important than anything else is maintaining this relationship.
Yeah.
The maintenance of this relationship is the most critical part of our lives.
So that's probably what my mom did wrong, was she kept telling us, there's nothing left for you. There's nothing. Don't tell your kids that.
No.
That's the dumbest thing you can do. Don't
let them think there's something. Give them a binder.
There's something.
Give them a binder and say, when I pass, take this into the fucking law firm of Schultz and Stapleton. And then you go, yes, mama. And you're like, fuck yeah. And then you open the binder and you're like, this is all just fucking graphs. This is all fucking AI
it's
graphs.
Empty paper.
This is inheritance GPT.
That'd be hilarious to like have a thing and be like, do not open this till I die. If you open it before I'm dead,
I'll
get nothing.
I'll change my will.
But then there's literally nothing in it and they open it. That'd be hilarious. I have
just
to make
just dick traces.
I have to make a will because I have cancer.
What? No, you don't.
Age 4. I know. Look at how good I look.
You do look pretty good.
I know. Everyone's like, you look so good. I'm like, I feel great. I guess I am.
You're a great feeling person.
I don't know. But
well, that's not really why we took a break. We took a break because we're, I guess, lazy and stuff, right?
Well, we took a break because I first got cancer and I was like, well, I don't know how I'm going to feel. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even that. Like, the chemo wasn't even as bad. I was just really lazy. Yeah. And then after it was gone for a little bit, I was like still lazy. Holiday. And we kept on, oh, yeah, let's start the podcast again. We were all just being lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then now mostly the cancer gym. Is mostly Jim. Always Jim. Always like, I don't have time for this shit, you guys. I got to go to Grand Prairie. So then I was supposed to do a study. This is how I found out I had it together. I was supposed to do a study about the correlation of exercise and colon cancer staying in remission. So I was going to get like a personal trainer and like, yeah,
holy
exercise
shit.
Program. Yeah. I was like, they were like, do you want to do it? I'm like, yes, I do.
Wow.
So then I like had to have all these blood tests and tests to like make sure everything was good. And I had this, I don't remember what it's called. It's like a carcinoma blood test. And if you're above 5, that's bad news. They've got to check more. But if you're below 5, you're fine. So I had like a 3.1. So they were she's fine. Right. And then I had a CAT scan, which I wasn't supposed to have until end of September, because it's a year after my surgery. And I had a CAT scan. And then I have this app. I don't know if you have the app called the My Chart app.
No, I would fucking...
Don't do it because... Yeah. I actually, now that I'm sick, it's very helpful.
So wait a minute. So you got the reading at the same time as your doctor?
Yeah,
like you
I got
found
the results
out...
at like 7 a.m. on a Monday morning, and I didn't have an appointment with her until Wednesday. And
you should have called your doctor and said, I need you to come to my house at 3:30 tomorrow. It's important. Like, make an appointment for your doctor to come see you and then make that bitch wait.
I'm never going to say anything bad about my doctor because she's incredible.
No,
she lets me text her and stuff. Like, wow. She's crazy amazing. But yeah, so at 7 a.m. in the morning, I got this message and I was just like, why is there so... Then it said stuff about my ovaries being old. I'm like, thanks a lot for egg shaming me.
Yeah, you did get egg shamed.
I got egg shamed. And then they were like... I'm not good at science. So I'm like, what does all this mean? What does metastasize mean? What does this and this mean?
It just means one size bigger than extra large.
Yeah, that's what I thought, right? But then I'm like,
you went to a Mexican restaurant and they metastasized you. They metastasized your margarita.
Then I stupidly googled metastasize, and I'm like, that doesn't sound good. I thought I didn't have colon cancer anymore. Like, this is weird. So then I was not going to say anything to anyone. I was just going to go to the appointment. But I'm like, this is just weird. So I sent it to my brother, who is also going through the exact same thing as I am. Mm-hmm. But I'm winning again because mine's in my liver and my abdomen, and his is only in his liver.
What a bitch.
So
what a little bitch,
I'm winning.
Oliver.
But that's the thing is, like, he just texted me back. He's like, I'm going to come with you to your appointment because I'm not going to lie to you. There's some shit in here that does not look good. And I was like, okay. And then I freaked out for 2 days. And then, but actually I'm kind of glad I knew because like he did come with me to my appointment. And when I got there, the girl who was doing the study stuff with me comes out and her face looks like death itself.
And you just see a giant black guy who was supposed to be a personal trainer just walk past you like, sorry.
We would have had fun.
It would have been good.
It would have been good. But yeah, so I saw her face and she's like, I said, well, I know what's going on. She goes, okay, so you know that you can't be in the study anymore. I'm like, yeah, I figured it out. And then they told me. But it was good that I kind of, because I think I would have had a way harder time dealing with it if I'm thinking everything's fine. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, by the way, you now
have especially in a situation
cancer.
Like that where you're like, I'm going to be in a study. Like, I'm a success story. Yeah. I'm going to, this is going to be great. I'm on Ozempic. I got a personal trainer. Yeah. Like, this
and by
is
the way,
all...
I've been on Ozempic for years. I'm not just one of those Ozempic jumpers.
You're not
I'm
a new Ozempic
I'm
lady.
I'm an old school Ozempic
Should I not have
user.
Brought Ozempic into it?
No, it's fine. I'm happy to tell people I'm on Ozempic, but I just don't want people to be like, oh, she's on Ozempic.
Oh, she's whatever. A new convert to Ozempic.
Yeah. But no, that's when I found out I had cancer. We told my dad. I went over to my brother's house and we told my dad, we're like, come over. Cause I don't want to, I have a few friends that I wanted to tell to their faces. You were one of them, but I just didn't have time to drive on
the
Fort Saskatchewan.
ChatGPT.
I sent him a ChatGPT message, which I can read in a minute.
It was pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
When I read it, I didn't know it was, I had no idea it was ChatGPT until the very end.
You thought it was
until
me?
I got to like, there was one part. Like, if you read it, then, people will be like, oh, that's when he knew that it was fake.
That it was fake. But when we told my dad, my dad shows up and so I'm like, so I have stage 4 cancer now too. And he's like, oh, and my dad's just not good at processing things.
Oh.
And So then I said, so I just need to know one thing from you. Who are you choosing in the sibling death pool? And he's like, Jesus Christ, Kathleen,
I don't speak about my bets publicly. That's between me and my cancer bookie. I got a cancer bookie down at the cross.
Cancer bookie. We do need to do some sort of cancer bookie sort of thing. You know how they have like birth ones? We should have a Kathleen death pool. That'd be funny. That would be fun.
That would be cool. I would take August 13th, 2040.
2040?
Yeah, I would go long game.
Oh my God.
Because I could win. Think about how much I could win everything.
I don't want to have cancer for that long.
No. I'm saying it would go away like a miracle and then come back like a fucking house on fire in 2039 and you'd be dead within a week. But that's what I'm banking on. It's going to go away and then come back. Boom.
This is what I sent to you and then my friends that I'm close with, but I don't live near. So just a few other people got this, but it says, hey, in brackets, friend's name, exclamation mark. I hope this text finds you well, which made me laugh because that's what your dad says. Yeah. I wanted to share something important with you. Recently, I've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. I know it's not the easiest news to hear, but I believe in being open and honest with those I care about.
That's such a crazy thing for AI to say, right?
It would mean a lot to have your support and positive vibes during this challenging time. Let's continue making cherished memories together, and your friendship will undoubtedly make a difference in my journey. Thank you for being such an incredible friend. And then he said, ChatGPT wrote that for me.
What did you put into ChatGPT to make it spit that out?
I think I said, how do you tell a fun and uplifting way to tell people you have stage 4 cancer? I swear to God, I think that's what I did.
Oh, my God. Well,
I think I can look it up.
Yeah, cherished memories.
We don't have any cherished memories. Okay, lady.
Okay.
A nice, fun text telling a good friend I have stage 4 cancer.
Wow. And it really did spit out quite a nice little story.
Oh, it did. It works. I know that's everyone hates AI right now, but I'm fine with it. But
yeah, I guess that's the toughest part about cancer is who's an in-person and who's a text and who's a call and who's a Facebook and who's a fuck, you know what I mean?
And it was like, I wasn't going to call. I'm not calling a bunch of people. I'm not having 8,000 conversations I was all text and I'm like, if you don't like a text, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be constantly.
No.
Anyway, here we go.
I don't need to waste my whole day with that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got my script and then I have to, and just like telling people, like I went to the dentist before this because I had like a cracked tooth and I'm like, I have to get it fixed now because when you're in chemotherapy, you can't go to the dentist because if you get an infection, you have no white blood cells, so it could literally kill you.
Right.
So, so I went to my dentist and then like, he was something like, why did you have to get booked in like so quick? I was like, because I cancer and I'm starting chemotherapy on Thursday, and that's all I wanted to say. And then I asked the dentist, like, what should I be doing to make sure I don't have a dental emergency or something during chemotherapy? And he goes, well, just do this, this, and this until your chemotherapy's done. And he's like, when is your chemotherapy done? I'm like, never.
When?
Like, it's not.
And then he looked at you.
They've not told me. Maybe if it goes away, then it'll be over. But as far as I know now, I'll be doing chemotherapy for the rest of my life. So
I'll probably find out like from a dentist. I'll be like, I get a fucking, you know, I get something done for my teeth. And then they're like, and then he just is like, I got some bad news. I have good news and bad news. But the good news is you can stop flossing. You can absolutely 100% stop flossing. And
like
what's the
flossing.
Bad news?
I like flossing.
And then, okay, so what is the bad news then? The bad news is it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
You have a cancer called, it's everywhere.
You have a cancer called, it's everywhere.
As long as I get to stop flossing.
Yeah. So I have to now write a will because I have so much stuff. But no, I do have a couple
things. First will and testament.
Do you have a will? You have kids. Do you have a will?
No.
You should have a will.
I just assume everything is just going to go to them, right? A will, I think.
No, you can't do that. You can't assume because like we couldn't find my mom's will. And they wouldn't let release stuff to us. They wouldn't let us do anything until we had a will. So you have to have a will regardless of with you have nothing at all.
Yeah.
You have kids. You definitely need a will. I have dogs. Yeah. People have already started asking me like for my dresses.
For your dresses?
Who's getting your dresses? As like, jokes,
what about
as
my jokes.
Jokes,
motherfucker?
I said I'm gonna auction my jokes off. Someone's getting Hitler pubes. I swear to God, someone's if you for a price.
$500 Do I hear 5, 10
I would love to have a joke auction.
Natasha Lynn Miles. She just holding up 13 and come and get the envelope with the joke written in it. She never actually did write it down.
You'll just have Hitler pubes on it.
It'll
There's
just
no
say
written
Hitler pubes.
Anywhere.
You know, everybody will get it. Yeah, because what happens to those great jokes? With like Irwin Barker passed
know, right?
away, and all those great jokes that are just have. Like, what? Did nobody gets to tell them. They go to the estate, and then they just get written down on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Wow.
But what would you have in your will to leave? Go, wait, no, sorry, this was gonna say like, so, and now you've all, I have people fighting over Eugene and Dottie, right? Because like,
right?
Because like, they're. If I live for 10 years, they'll probably die before me. But if I don't, I might die before them. And like, which I always used to joke about wanting. And now I regret saying that. I used to be like, I better die before them. And now I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have been so liberal with that sentence.
Yeah,
but
I remember I felt so bad for my mom because she was like, I didn't, you know, because moms are good at like keeping, they're like, oh no, don't bother them with that. But like at a time that she was like very ill with cancer,
they were writing a will.
Her dog was dying too,
oh
so she had to like put her dog down like a couple weeks before she went to a hospice.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, oh my god, she never said that she had to put the dog down, or maybe I'd heard and I was an asshole and I was like, oh okay,
yeah,
that's too bad.
Well, people have been asking for Eugene and Dottie. Oh, I'll take care of them. I'll take care of them. I'm like, I love that you guys all think that, but they're coming with me, and they're being thrown into the fire with me.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
dead
no,
with
they're coming,
me.
They're coming into the tomb.
Nobody gets the dogs.
They're coming all, into the fucking tomb.
My ashes will be mixed with their ashes.
It should be a tomb. You should be like, you know.
It should
like,
be a tomb.
Yeah, like where they. The,
I should be entombed.
2,000 years from now, Dottie still has all her fur. You know what I mean? It's you, Dottie, Eugene, all furred up, and you're
oh
in your happy
God.
Dress.
Be so cute.
A little joke book on your chest. A leash. With their,
they, bury me. Actually, yes, bury me. I don't want anybody going through my joke books after this.
Yeah, keep all
I've
your
actually
notebooks.
Said, I don't know who I said it to, but I'm like, I want all my joke books burned. But actually, yeah, put them in my casket with me and burn me. I don't want anyone going through that.
Because well, that was the meanest thing I ever did to you, and
that
I didn't even
really,
really know
mean.
It was mean.
That was the only time he almost made me cry. That was
yeah,
the only
was really
time
mean.
That was so mean. And I know you thought it was going to be funny, and
I
get it.
I thought it was going to be funny, and I thought like in the moment it seemed funny to me, but it was like a joke book, and then I had like ripped up some words or something, and I'm
no,
like,
you were saying like you were reading through it and saying things that I'd not developed into jokes, but just ideas, and then you were like. And then you were like, rip. You didn't really rip it, but you just like fake ripped it. And I was like, I look up to Sean and it's really hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I just felt like it was funny in the moment.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff I've done that I thought was funny in the moment. Like when I was at Christine Von Eggen's wedding, I like caught the bouquet and then I spiked it like a football and did a dance. And her mother was furious. They kicked me out of the wedding. Oh, yeah.
Really?
I thought it was funny, but... There's things that comics do in the moment that they are like, everyone's going to love this, and then you do it, and
yeah,
it just...
And you're like, and because, most people would do the same thing where they think something's funny and they do it, but comedians would be like, oh, I'm going to make a spectacle of this.
Yeah.
And then the spectacle backfired big time. This whole spectacle thing I created has really gone awry.
Yeah. I was in my head, I'm like, this is going to be so funny. Spike a boat. That's so funny.
If I catch it, I'm spiking it.
And I got it.
And
I'm
I got
doing
it. And
it.
I spiked. And it does seem funny to me right now.
I
where you get
it
and you go, yeah, touchdown or whatever. And they're like, why would she do that? It's a tradition. She ruined the tradition. The girl's supposed to catch it and go, yay. A man can save me. Yes, I'm still worthy of being saved by a man, says the bouquet of
the bouquet
fucking.
Says
just
it's,
randomly
the bouquet
thrown.
Says, I'm next.
Isn't that
that's
dumb?
The tradition that you're the next one to get married.
Thing. And
I
like,
did not get married next.
And
maybe
I think guys should throw like I think guys should throw like a set of keys, and then whoever catches it just leaves. You know, they're like, I can leave this wedding early. Yes, fucking. You know, because men don't want to be at weddings.
No.
Right. So you throw like, hey, there you go. You caught the thing that allows you to leave early, and your girlfriend's not allowed to be mad that you left your friend her friend's wedding early.
Yeah, they like do that weird thing where they go under her dress and it comes, they come out in their mouth. I did not do that at my wedding. It's creepy. And then they like fling it out.
Oh, you yeah, you take it with your mouth, right?
Yeah, and then some guy hangs it from his rearview mirror for months. It's weird. Yeah,
there really should be an age limit. There should be an age limit on that one.
Yeah,
it should
I didn't
be
do
first
it.
Wedding. First of all, first wedding only.
Yeah.
No second wedding tooth
yeah,
garter.
Yeah.
Teeth aren't touching a garter at a second wedding.
No.
And you got to be under 40.
Yeah.
Should be just under 40. Yeah. Anything over 40, what are you doing? You got a crown.
That's kind of the cool thing.
You got a tooth you could
over
chip.
Over 40, you can say fuck off to all those weird traditional bullshitty things and only do the ones you want to do.
Those stupid little things.
Yeah. So you don't have a will. What would you leave in your will?
I just have so little to give, right? That it's like, what you know, write a will. Okay, like me and a homeless guy, let's do this. Like, you should get a will. You should get a will, homeless guy.
I got to leave you something in my will. I don't know what, but I will leave you something in my will.
It should be, I don't know what it could be. Just cash, I guess.
just some cash.
Wouldn't it be funny if I got the money?
You can have the rest of my GoFundMe that I don't use.
The overused. You're going to spend all that.
No, I'm being very good with it.
I'm sure you are, yeah.
My credit rating went up 50 points.
What? Your credit rating went up?
Yeah, because I paid off my credit card.
Holy shit. The bank's like, what's going on?
What's happening?
Her?
Did what she win the lottery? Happened? I won the cancer lottery.
I won it, bitch.
We did. We once went to go get a consolidation loan because we were in dire straits, and we got denied. And the lady said, well, at least you don't have cancer. So now I believe that woman gave me cancer.
That BMO bitch did it. BMO at least you did. Don't. What a condescending, rude.
That was the weirdest I've never. But I was.
That is so.
I was crying.
Fucking rude.
Yeah.
That is so rude. Like, it's such a bitch. It is rude.
It was weird.
That's
it was weird.
Very fucking rude.
I'm like, was that supposed to make me feel better?
Oh, I went. Here's what's funny. Another funny little story. Because when we initially went to CIBC. For like a real estate or whatever to be like, hey, what do you qualify for? And you feel like you're going to church. Like whenever you go to the bank, it's like,
did you
know,
dress up in a
church.
Suit?
I think I was dressed up more than I normally would. Like,
yeah,
hello.
Not a hoodie, not green hoodie guy.
nobody with sleeves like this needs to show their T4s. But I had so we go in and it's this she's like 30 or something, the girl that we were seeing, and then she's like, I think I know you, and
oh,
I'm like, no, I. You know, I have one of those faces that reminds people of every fat, ugly person they know.
Sean!
And she's like, no. Like, I think I actually know you. And then she's like, you're a comedian.
Oh, my God.
And then she's like, I saw you at the blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, God.
That's the only notoriety we get, because that happened to me today, was I picked up some glasses that I ordered.
It's the only time you get recognized is when, in an awkward spot where it's not helpful.
She's like, are you a comedian? Because one of the girls that worked here recognized your name and said you're a comedian. I'm like, yes, I am.
And then, so here's what happened.
I didn't get a discount,
then,
by
then
the way.
She's like, I remember you. You had that rape kiss joke. And I'm like,
this is the lady that's giving you a mortgage?
I don't know. And she's like, yeah. And then she's like, I remember you. And at this point, I don't know, because some women are trolling me. Like, some women will be like, oh, you're funny. I heard you. And at other times, they're like, oh, yeah, you're that really funny guy with that really funny joke that's like this. But they're actually going,
I hate you.
Oh, and
no.
I hated this joke. And I want you to know which joke is going to not get you this mortgage, you fucking piece of shit.
God.
So at this point, I'm kind of like, I don't know anything about a rape kid. She's like, yeah, you said this set is going about as this set is as awkward as a rape kiss. And I was like,
that's pretty funny.
And my wife's like, what the fuck is happening? And then she remembered another joke that I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it was just like that. It was another like sickening kind of like rapey. Search party.
Oh, that is.
I used to have a joke about a search party where I'm looking for somebody
Your
who's
wife.
Dead, you know, and I'm the lazy guy at the search party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a 5-minute long joke about like, and then you got to go on all these off trail walks because they stick you with the immediate family group and their tones all filled with hope like Tracy. And you're like, the bitch is dead. Can we go back to base camp? Fuck, like that. And then you find her and then she's explaining this whole joke to me. And I'm like, I'm trying to act like I don't quite remember what, you know, I'm like, oh, I haven't done any of these jokes in so long. I don't remember them, whatever. Yeah. And she's just like, oh, yeah, no. You. And then it's, I should have just said, I remember the joke. Because then she'd be like, no, you said, and then she would say what I said. And I'm like, oh, my God.
At least she remembered you.
And then.
But not your name.
So, and then she's like, oh, yeah, we'll see, whatever. You got to find all this information, like all these millions of things you have to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And then I kept emailing her and she was not responding. And I'm like, fuck. Like, so like after a month, I'm telling my wife, like, she for sure hated me.
Yeah.
Hated those jokes. Won't deal with me. And she's ghosting me.
Yeah.
Like, but we're getting ghosted by the fucking bank. And then I got a call from the branch manager who was like, oh, hi, I'm sorry. You're, you know, she quit. I guess she like had quit her job at CNBC like 2 days after talking to us. And then they just let her emails
over
come
your
in
jokes?
No.
Yeah. I can't.
I will never. Yeah, she tells
I'll
her
never
manager,
do
like,
another mortgage
never
again.
Make me do a mortgage for him. And she's like, that's part of your job, Claire. Either do the mortgage for the rape guy or get out. I will never do a mortgage for a rapist. No, but she's like, can I tell my sister I talked to you? And I'm like, what do you, I mean, yeah. You can definitely tell your sister you talked to me.
People like you, Sean, even though you don't think they do.
I don't know what you're talking about. You can talk to my... But you're the rape kiss guy at the bank. Like, that, you know, like this great. Nobody knows I'm a comedian. And then right when I fucking need people to not know I'm a comedian,
yeah,
they're well aware that I'm a comedian. And they didn't even see me do like a normal set. They saw me do like... Some I must have been mad at Dino that weekend.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
been
yeah.
Like, fuck you. I'm just going to do all the jokes people hate.
That's when you do your best sets. You did one of those sets in Winnipeg. The last
show. Oh, yeah.
Show.
They really... there was some stuff that they hated.
That was amazing. I do the same thing, though. It's like if
you
I hate a
do,
crowd,
yeah. You definitely
I go
do.
Harder. I go meaner.
Oh, you
go, I
go big time.
Way
yeah.
worse. Like, I
and
go,
you're also like, I have a fear. I have I'm an inner... I'm like, I gotta... If I get scared, I'm like, okay, I'll do a joke. I'll bail out.
Yeah.
And I'll just, okay, I'll tell this one that'll usually makes people laugh and I'll get out of here. You don't. You're
no.
like, you. I'm not going to,
I
don't want
their
you.
Evening. I ruin their evening.
You don't want to tell them a joke they're going to enjoy because you don't want them to enjoy it.
My new favorite thing to say to like, if it's like an older woman that I can see is like crossed armed, angry at me, I'll be like, hey, I'm going to find your son and I'm going to marry him. And I'm going to be your daughter-in-law.
And she's like, no, you're...
She's
no.
like, no, Jesus, no.
And then you said something like, well, at least you know your son's going to get blown properly or something like that. Or
like
whatever.
Like, once a week if I feel like
yeah.
it.
She's like, oh, my heavens. But I love watching your show and just watching like women between the ages of, say, like 55 and 70 like come around
yeah,
on it.
Yeah, they do come around
like
usually.
Where they're like, oh, no. And they're yeah. looking at their friends like, I don't know if we should. And then like within 50, they're like...
And then my closer.
And then they kind of have a few tisks and oh. And then after like 10 minutes, they're like, you know, it's just like, it's so fun watching them admit to themselves that like, yeah,
this
I can laugh.
Funny.
I can laugh
yeah.
at this. I can go ahead and laugh. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Fucking why not?
Yeah.
And then you kind of like, well, we're like maybe 40 minutes in, you would go into your cancer stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would, there would be 2 minutes of them being like, is this for real or
yeah,
is she bullshitting us? Because
this you can't
bullshit?
Joke about cancer if you don't have
yeah,
it.
If she's, yeah, is she bullshitting us here? Because yeah. if she's pretending to
she
have cancer
look like she
for
has cancer.
Some 45-second bit, yeah. I hate
I'm not
her.
On board.
Yeah.
yeah.
So there's like this minute where they're like, oh, she has it.
Yeah.
But it takes them like a minute to be like, okay,
yeah.
she legitimately has it. It's happening, and now she can. Now it's carte blanche. I can
yeah.
do whatever I want.
And now I'm just like, if you didn't have a good time, good luck complaining.
Yeah.
You can just say the cancer girl made you mad.
Yeah, no, it's as close as you're ever going to get to being like, to having the book opened as in terms of material you can talk about is like, say, a trans man or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's as close as you're ever going to get to like
trans person in general.
Yeah, where you just and I, you know, I'm just throwing trans out there, but you know what I mean. Like the more yeah. diverse you are,
well,
the more
people do not want to pretend like they don't.
The
like
more diverse
the
you are, the more things you can talk about.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, openly, whatever. Like, remember how many times did we watch like black male comedians do 30 minutes on Asians?
Yeah.
And we're like, so you can do, okay, so you're like.
And have an Asian accent yeah. and be like super racist.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, so you don't, so as long as you've got a little cover,
yeah.
it covers you for everything.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
cancer
this is amazing.
My cover.
The Like, you can be a black guy and talk about, like fucking how dumb you think Asian women are.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? You can do that? Yeah. As long as you got one, then you can do all of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so great. And cancer's that blanket where now you can talk about anything. And they'll be like, well, I guess you gotta let her do it.
Yeah.
She's not just a white lady anymore.
She's dying.
You know, there's no cancer Karens. We can't call her cancer Karen. You know, oh, she's just whining. I have cancer. I'm allowed to whine and bitch. I'm allowed to bitch and whine. And you got a port? What is a port?
It's right here. You can't see it right now because it's got a Band-Aid on it. What's like a... It's like a big long like line that goes into a vein inside, like right behind my heart. Because like chemo, if you just keep putting it in your arm, you'll destroy those veins. Mm. But this is a bigger, thicker vein.
Yeah, that's robust.
And so they like mainlining chemo. So yeah, I've got like
okay.
Like this thing, they cut like they freeze you, and then they cut you open, go through your neck. And then they're like, you're going to feel some pressure. And then I felt pressure. And then my ears started to itch. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Am I turning into a dog?
It didn't hurt. It just felt odd.
That's so weird.
Yeah. And,
Okay. For some reason, I thought it was like, you know, like you have it and now you can like press a button and get chemo. You don't have to like go to the clinic. But it's like, you still got to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had one of my favorite like types of nurses is like usually, and it's usually a male, like an older male nurse that'll be like this, but he's on, he's got jokes, he's got everything, and he's trying to make you laugh because that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know that I'm a comedian, so he's telling me all these jokes and all this stuff. And I was like, he's telling me how like you sometimes we'll get people here that are on like super painkillers, so they're very like constipated and backed up. And I started telling this lady some jokes, and all of a sudden she just about shit the bed. I was like, so you're human prune juice. Like,
and he's like, why does this bitch have jokes?
He's like, hey, I have the jokes here.
Hey, let me tell the jokes.
Yeah, he didn't know I was. It's cute. I love when it's like they don't know that you do that job, and they're just going. And he was making me laugh. He was
fun. A comedian, you're like, how many times have you told that story?
Yeah.
And he's like, how do you know?
Yeah, well,
how do you know that I've told the shit the bed story since 1994?
I would never.
It's my closer.
I would never ruin that for him because that's his thing, and he loves it. He loves making people that are sick laugh, which is nice.
Yeah,
but I giggled a little bit. I didn't like give him too much though.
Yeah, don't go over the top. Like, make him earn it.
He didn't kill with me.
No, he's okay.
He killed with the lady that shit on the bed.
Yeah, there's I haven't been into the cross like I used to drive. Oh, no, we lost video. My God.
No,
they can't even see me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Does anybody watch this?
We'll just put
be weird. Just guys. There's a couple creepy guys, I bet, that watch this.
Probably.
With the sound off. They're like, I do not want to hear that fucking guy talk.
I love when she laughs so loud, her mouth is open so wide.
Yeah, they just watch it like this. They just have one hand on the laptop on the left-hand side. Covering my face and body and just stare at you with the sound off. Kind of gross.
Men are gross.
Men are kind of creepy and weird. But it's good to do the podcast again. We could do another. We should do more,
guess.
Yeah,
we'll do more.
Right?
We'll try and do this weekly. I don't think, like, because I've been talking to my brother and he's like, I'm now going on the same chemo path. It's kind of been nice that my brother has gone through all this before me.
Yeah.
Because I can ask him questions and then, like, because there's so many people. Oh, that's the one thing about this is, like, you get so many messages from people who are just, like just being.
Because
everybody, I had this really great talk with my doctor because everybody, like, my brother's like, you need to stop drinking alcohol altogether. You need to stop eating sugar altogether. And I'm like, if I literally only have a few years left of my life, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not. And I had a discussion with her where she was like, yeah, like. Like, live your life. Like, live your life. She's like, I have lots of patients that pay money to go to Mexico for these weird treatments. And then they go off to the Mayo Clinic. And the Mayo Clinic's, what are you doing here? You live in Edmonton. And the Cross Cancer is one of the best cancer facilities in the world. Like, and it's just all this chasing and having to be in control of everything instead of, like, living your fucking life. And, like, I've told people, like, there's... It's not like at first it's kind of hard to hear, but then you're like, wait a second. I know that my life is ending, even though we're all going to have our lives over at one point. Like, so I know that I have to do stuff that I've always wanted to do. And I know that I have to get some shit done. But and I think that's kind of a cool thing about having something like cancer.
Yeah.
But I'm just like not going to like run around looking for a cure. Everyone's sending me eat bee pollen, eat this. And I'm not, and I don't want anybody that sent me one of those messages to feel bad because I appreciate all of them. And I do look into all of it.
And it's always the same people, right? It's like well, you could trace it back to COVID.
Yeah.
Right. The anti-vax people are also anti-Western medicine.
Cancer because of the vaccine.
Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah. I thought there would just be more people that were like, you know, take the Rick Sampson oil, go to Mexico, do the thing, do the bee pollen or whatever. Don't do chemo. That's what's killing you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry. Like I'm going to trust medicine. Sorry.
Well, and like we had that conversation where it's like a lot of people who are online saying like, I beat cancer with cannabis and a little bit of this and some exercise. And it's like, and then you talk to their family and friends and they're
they did chemo.
And chemo.
Yeah.
They also did chemo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You think that if, like, bee pollen cured like
they
cancer?
Quietly, they fucking low-key take chemo and then say that they were cured by whatever the fuck.
But if you think that, like, bee pollen or cannabis fully cured cancer, that the pharmaceutical industry wouldn't have monetized it by now, bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
How would we not know?
That's bullshit.
How would we not know?
And I know they're like, oh, no, they're keeping cancer out there to make money off of it. I'm like, yes, like, it's... It's crazy
that's
the things you hear.
That's
I just
want
to hear messages of like, yeah, let's go hang out one night. Like, I just want to have fun. I literally just want to have fun. I want to do comedy tours with comics that I enjoy touring with. Like, I just want to have a good time. I don't.
And if chemo goes well, great.
Then great.
Yeah.
Then I'm not paying you your GoFundMe money back.
No.
You're not getting it back.
That's my fucking money.
That's my.
Well, and at your fundraiser, you brought that up and people are like, spend it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Fuck you. Never give it back.
That's the thing too. Is you find out from other people that like I like really literally like was overwhelmed when I saw what people were donating and doing. I was just like, this is fucking insane. Like this is insane.
Mm. I usually donate as anonymous Lacombe.
I know. I love it. That's the best. That's the best.
Or Sean Lanonymous.
Sean Lanonymous. Anonymous Lacombe.
You're like, I think I know who the fuck that is. Shane Lacrombie.
But it's, I literally, I'm like, I'm kind of relieved that I know how I'm going to die because nobody knows, not everyone knows how they're going to die. So it's kind of like, you can't, if you get hit by a bus tomorrow, you couldn't have had a GoFundMe started
mine'll
for you.
Be,
just for your sons.
Mine
but.
Will be what they call the short goodbye.
The short
It'll be like an angina attack as I'm opening a door. I'm trying to open a jar of pickles and then, something popped.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the pickles. And then I'll be like, let's get a GoFundMe going. Dead.
But you said that like if you got it, you wouldn't tell anybody.
Yeah, I probably, I don't know. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because until you have it, maybe if I got it, I'd be like, you know what? I actually do need support.
Yeah.
I do need to tell people. I do need, you know.
Cancer jokes would be amazing.
And also, I don't think I could not tell people.
It's too hard. And it's also too, like, it'll make people around you angry when they find out that you were that sick and you didn't tell them. It'll make people angry.
Yeah, I think I'm pretending that I'd be stronger than I'll tell everybody immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be.
You look great. Exercising?
No, not at all. I haven't exercised in 12 years. Let me tell
you
a story.
You've been losing weight. It's the cancer's eating my fat.
It's Ozempic.
I'm on Ozempic.
But I've been on it forever. I'm one of the new ones.
It
new
is
convert.
Weird that people will be like, I had just one person say it, but yeah. I bet you're vaccinated. I bet you got it from the vaccine. And I was like,
oh
hey.
Oh, my God.
No, because
I thought you guys
my
were stuck on heart.
Diagnosed.
Like a heart problem?
Oh, I know. My brother was diagnosed at the beginning of COVID. That's when he found out about his. And then my doctor said that that's because of the size of my tumor, it's probably growing there for like 5 to 10 years already. Like,
yeah.
It was probably the hepatitis vaccine. Yeah.
But they're consistent, right? They've been consistent throughout the pandemic, and now they've got to find some other thing to latch onto, some other vine to. Like I was started doing a joke recently about like how, you know, how everybody's so boring.
Yeah.
Because once you know what they think about one thing, you know what they think about
everything.
And everybody's the same where it's like, you tell me one thing about what you think about something. And I know now because of how tribal we are, I know how you feel about
everything.
Almost every fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like nobody ever says like, I don't like Pride Nights because they're grooming our kids, but also COVID was a legitimate public health threat that we handled as best as we could.
Yeah, never.
Like, that would be interesting
to
hear somebody say that. No one does.
No
it's one. All like fucking, you're either one side or the other.
No one says that, but I think a lot of people think that way, but they just don't want to, like, so we watched Scott Thompson at Grindstone Comedy Fest. He had, like, he has this new show called King, and it is fucking amazing, and it was so good, and it was so, like, he went after stuff that everyone's too scared to go after, but he's literally, he's done. He's like, I'm exhausted of all of this. And he brings up everything. He has a great point. And he thought that, like, everyone was going to hate it. When he came in that weekend, it was crazy seeing what he was like when he came in and what he was like when he left. Because when he came in, he was very, like, I don't know how to explain it, but he was just, like, nervous and worried, like, very holding in and blah, 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 blah.
He's like, I'm going to bomb. And everybody's like, you're Scott Thompson, you're a kid in the hall. And he's like, I don't think you understand.
He's like, they're going to hate me for all these jokes. And I was expecting to hear, like, just horrific. But it was, like, everything that he said made absolute, my favorite joke he told was that he's like, it was about drag queens reading to kids. He's like, I don't understand why this is the hill people want to die on. Like, drag queens don't like kids, and the only time the only time children should be around drag queens is when they're looking for coke. It was such a good joke. And it didn't hurt anyone. It just discussed stuff. And and the way he ends the show, I don't want to ruin for anybody that might see in the future, because I told him this show is going to be a good, like, I hope somebody throws this somewhere good, because it was so good. But yeah, watching him, and then he got 3 standing ovations every single show. He got a full standing ovation, and I'm like, I've never seen that at a comedy festival ever.
Not really. No.
Not like, even from, like, the biggest comics. Yeah, nobody gets standing ovations. I never see that.
You know, just woo.
Every single show he got one, and it was so good. It was at the Grindstone. It was at Grindstone. It's like very liberal.
It's everybody. It's very navel gazy. Very. Yeah, like, I mean, it's, you know, those environments tend to be like, how am I being perceived? Yeah. Right? Like, it's like, so it is harder to do comedy in those environments because there's no guttural instant reaction.
But everybody was
the crowd is generally filled with people who are like, how will my laughter at this moment be perceived by my peer
group? And it was
group?
Light out. You could see everybody. It wasn't. It was outside. It was light out. And I didn't watch the show once. I watched the audience every single show. And it was fun. Like, I saw one group of, like, lesbians that were, like, super into it. And then he said something a little bit against lesbians. Shade. And they were kind of like, But then they were, like, laughing again. And at the end of the show, they wanted a picture with him. And I'm like, I said to him, I'm like, you're saying what everybody would love to be able to just talk about, but we're also scared that we're going to offend someone, and someone's going to call us horrible things for just having different feelings and thoughts. Like, it was so good.
It reminds
me
of, like,
inspiring.
You know, Patrice O'Neill when he came to Edmonton, and
yeah,
like, there was that, there was that one statement he made where, like, he would all of a sudden he would say some stuff that would upset women.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, and then he would just pause for like a minute. And then he'd just go, you feel that? You feel that tension? You feel that tension in here? And everybody's like, yeah, I fucking absolutely feel the tension in here. He's like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's fucking good, man. He's like, this is a real comedy show.
Yeah.
He's like, you build something up and it fucking derails and then you keep going. He's like, you come into a show and it's all laughs, laughs, laughs. That's fucking bullshit.
It's boring.
And the crowd's like, yeah. You know, then they got back on board. They're like, he's right. If you come to a show and it's just like, ha, 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 then what have you really done? What is it? It's just some fuck. Anybody can do that. And I think that, you know, guys like that are that skilled, like Scott Thompson or Patrice, like, they're like, I've been given this gift. And it's not just to come in here and do what any fucking comedian can do. Like, any comedian, any fucking, once you've done comedy long enough, you know, it's a magic trick, right? Yeah. It's like, anybody can come in and do it. Anybody could come in and just kind of take 6 months, watch people do stuff, and then I figured it out. I know how to make people laugh. But yeah, when your guys like, when it's like Scott or whatever, like, it's like, you know, he feels maybe some pressure to be like, I'm so good, I can't just go up there and like, hey everybody, and be the damsel and everybody like, that's the guy I remember from Kids in the Hall. He's like, no, I'm gonna take some chances.
But he also didn't do it as Scott Thompson. He did it as Buddy Cole, which I think is the best way to do it. He's like, this isn't Scott Thompson saying this shit, this is a fictional character that you all love saying this shit. And I think it was easier for people to swallow it that way. But fuck, was it good to watch. I was so inspired by it. Like, I was just like, and he's such a wonderful human being. Like, I barely talked to any of the other comics because I was just enjoying having fun with him that weekend. He was just such a wonderful person. So
those guys are pretty real, you know? Like, when I worked with Kevin McDonald, like you said, Scott Thompson. Yeah. Like Scott Thompson.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't rest on your laurels, nobody can. And he's like, oh my God, I might bomb. I might, this might be a failure. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Like when I worked in Calgary with Kevin McDonald, he was like, no, you don't understand. I was like, well, you're Kevin McDonald. Like,
but he's
like,
a and he's like, hero. Yeah.
He's like, you don't understand. Like this could go brutal. Like
if I don't do well,
he was like so scared. And I'm like, oh my God, these are the kids in the hall. And they're not like, hi, you know, like a lot of people would be like, hi, it's me, legendary, whatever, right?
But they feel the pressure to always be really good because everyone loved them so much.
Yeah, or but, despite all their successes, they still have like low self-esteem and they're still like scared and, you know.
I know. It's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. But yeah, that was, I don't know. It was so fun watching all of that and watching him be so bluntly. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. He told us too. He also told the people like during the show, the Amazon show that they got, like they were terrible to them. They were so terrible to them.
Really?
He wrote 10 monologues for the show. And they also said, we don't want you to do monologues, which we just don't think it's a thing. I'm like, that's one of the things that made the kids in the hall great were their monologues. We just don't think it's a
thing.
But they had to put, because you don't want to offend anybody. So they had to run his monologues through GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance.
Oh, my God.
And GLAAD rejected 8 of his 10 monologues. GLAAD rejected a gay man's work.
Wow.
Because they didn't think. They were like, and because
he's only got one plate spinning, right?
He's like, and it's so all these liberal white women. Like he went after liberal because he's right. It's all these liberal white women that think that they're doing so much and helping so much and all this other stuff, and like, but they're not. They're actually making the world a worse place.
Yeah.
But when he told me that GLAAD rejected 8, I was disgusted. I was like, that's disgusting. They're supposed to be there for you. They're not supposed to be there to hold you down and hold you back. Like that's fucking gross. That's like the world's fucked right now. So like say whatever you want. That's all I'm.
But like I said, he's only got one plate spinning. He's a gay man. He's a white man who's gay.
Yeah.
And that's only one plate moving. You got to have.
Oh, that's not enough even.
You
got to
have 2 or 3 spinning, right?
Even like he was talking about, he's like, nobody cares about gay white men. Nobody cares about it. Or even gay men in general. If you're a gay man.
So they don't even, when they're reading his stuff, they're not like reading it as this is a gay man who wrote this. And so we cut him some slack because he's a part of our community. They're like, this is a white guy who wrote this.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Isn't that fucking
nuts? So he gets kind of pigeonholed into that. And it's like, and I'm sure, like you've told me before, Scott's like, I was out in the fucking, you know, like
80s in Toronto when you could get beat the fuck up for walking the street holding another man's hand.
Nobody was a hero for being gay then.
Nope.
I was just vilified. And if I walked in the wrong neighborhood, look out.
Yeah. And he talks about like AIDS and how AIDS came along and just wiped out half of his whole group and everything. Wow. And like it was so good. I like, if you have a chance, like he's in LA right now, but I know he's gonna tour it more because it was really 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 good. But it's just like nowadays, like how you can't release anything because everybody is so scared of getting sued or getting losing sponsorship.
Like if Scott Thompson of Kids in the Hall fame can't do it, like who can do it? Like that's,
I think there's gonna be a crazy shift because of the writer's strike, because the actors are striking, because everybody's being a lot more transparent than ever before. Like with the whole, like I used to think if you were on TV, you were rich. When I watched Mike McDonald on Just for Last, I'm like, he's got to be rich. He's got to live in a mansion in Toronto, this and that. I remember the first time I saw myself on a TV was for the Winnipeg Comedy
Fest.
You're like,
how come that girl's not rich?
Right. I was sitting in a bar and I literally had no money, like none. And I'm like, I got what I wanted. And now I still can't live a good life. Like I'm not like, it's so many people are like, even actors are like, you think that like, that there's, we're all making millions of dollars. No, there's like a few elite people, but when also they'll make that much money, but then they have to pay out their agent and manager and all these other people who run around saying that they work for them. But like, what do they really do?
The birthplace of anti-Semitism. Showbiz.
it's I love watching all this because there's so many people like talking about like what their real experiences and like just being like, by the way, I was a female co-star with this male co-star and I made literally scale while he made millions of dollars, and when I asked and I won an Emmy and he didn't, and I still made way less than him. It's fucking crazy. People ask me about comedy too. They're like, well, you guys must make a lot in comedy. I'm like, no, we do not. We do not make a lot in comedy. Like, it does not, Like, even if you're at a high level, you're still in Canada, at least. Maybe if you get to the States, but that's when you get a manager that books stuff for you, and they book you high because they want their cut of it, right? Like
who would be the richest female stand-up comedian in Canada?
In Canada? Oh, my God, I have no idea.
The wealthiest female stand-up comedian
in Canada. They
would have
$40,000. That's wealthy.
Because, like, guys, you could say, well, Jerry D, Brent Butt, these are millionaires, right? I mean, Jerry D's a millionaire, Brent Butt's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Who else is a millionaire? You can sort of name five or six male stand-up millionaires.
Yeah, but not females.
Steve Patterson would be, you know, well-known and flush. Like, yeah. There'd be some...
I think Lisa Baker's doing good for herself, not millionaire-wise, but she, because she does it all herself. She doesn't, like, she goes after and she gets her own money. And, like,
but
I'm not saying
but
she's
I just mean you'd think that there would be, like,
at least
a
one.
Few female comedian millionaires in Canada. But I don't know. It'd be like Deb DiGiovanni, but she's in L.A. Nikki Payne, but she sort of does it when she feels like it.
Like stand-up comedians, I can't think of
like if Nikki Payne was a grinder, she'd have tons of money because she's very well-known and awesome.
But she also doesn't want to.
Yeah, she doesn't want to.
And I don't blame her.
But there's not many. You're right. There is kind of a weird...
I can't think of a female stand-up that has gotten her own show in Canada.
I guess it'd be like, you know, Sabrina Jalisse or something.
She never got her own, like a Jerry D style show, like Mr. D or like the Letterkenny stuff. Like, I can't think of a female comedian. Arden has, but Jan Arden's a musician.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I'm not.
Yeah, there's no corner gas that a female comedian came up with or a Mr. D.
No,
yeah, there really isn't.
There weren't even female comedians. I don't think any of the women on Corner Gas were stand up comedians. They were all just like sketch people.
Yeah. I think the timing it was terrible where, like, there was a period of time where it was like, okay, we'll give a couple Canadians a chance, and it was sort of Mr. D and Corner Gas. And now we're in a time where you would think more females would be getting opportunities.
But Nikki Payne should have had her own Mr.
But
D style show.
They're not they don't do stuff like that anymore.
No.
They just don't do stuff like that anymore. They don't have a division at any of these places where they're like, we need more original Canadian content.
Yeah, no,
they're just not doing it.
No. And now with all these strikes, we're just going to get so much crazy reality show. Have you heard there's like a Golden Bachelor? He's 71.
Oh, gross. What?
His name is like Jerry or Gary, and he's 70. He looks like he's 60.
Of course. Of course.
He looks.
It wouldn't be like my dad in a wheelchair with one
eye.
No, like,
I'm just excited.
I take
to
the
see.
Girl with tits. Like, my dad recently, there was a lady came by for an assessment, and they're like, well, do you need a daily bath? And he's like, maybe if she's 18 or 19. And I'm like, let me remind you something. You're 72.
Yeah.
But, like, his jokes are still, you know, if she's young enough
that's
or whatever.
That's because
like,
men
you know.
Always think that they can get a 19-year-old.
Well, but also my dad was one of the only guys that was getting puss because he had his filter set
because
to
he was one of
older
the only
women.
Guys. Yeah.
No, he was one of the only guys that had his filter set to an older woman.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, he was, like, when he was 65, he was like, yeah, I'll fuck a 72-year-old.
I was in
Vancouver. And then they were like, oh, my God, a 65-year-old man just messaged me. Like, you know, if you're a 72-year-old woman and you get messaged by a younger man, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, this never happens. Yeah. Everybody who reaches out to me is 92.
I went out with, like, a 68-year-old guy in Vancouver once from Tinder because I set my preferences because I was like, let's see what's out there. And
let's
he was,
see what's available.
And he was, like, he was pretty wealthy and stuff. But we both were like, this isn't working. We like each other as people, but this would never work romantically. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, let's see what it was would be like. And it was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know how some people do it.
And he just want a waste of one pill. That's all. I'm sure he took a I'm sure he took a pill before. For sure he took a pill.
I don't think so. I don't think he had money, so maybe he did. But I don't like it's like, are you sponge worthy? Are you pill worthy?
Are you pill
one
worthy?
Of these expensive
exactly,
$50
yeah.
pills?
Yeah, I guess you can find out early in the evening. You can spend the first 15 minutes
and
be like, we have a good chemistry, and then go to the bathroom and take a pill.
I did a show for like some car dealership in like Gibbons or something, one of those towns. And like, there was like, I did it with Kelly Soloduca, and Kelly was dying because all these like old male car salesmen were coming up and hitting on me. They were like 60 something, and they were like, one of them goes on to me, he's like, I took a Cialis. I was like, that's the grossest thing.
Yeah, I'm fake hard. I'm fake hard. I'm science hard.
Oh my God.
I'm not Mother Nature hard for you. I'm science hard for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to fuck science? No. I don't want to fuck a science experiment, you weird leaky volcano. You weird, sickening leaky volcano.
I think I'll leave my dick bong for you in my will.
Okay. I'll take it.
It's a good bong.
I think we've talked.
Been a long one.
Yeah, which is fine. But we'll do it again.
We could even do a two-parter, maybe, or we'll just do it again next week.
We'll do it again next week when we get high.
We'll keep
doing
it.
For this one.
Yeah, we didn't even get high for this.
We didn't even get high.
I got a whole care package from Joey in Toronto. She used to run Underground Clandestiny, so she sent me all these cookies. So I'll bring some cookies. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. People are being so nice.
That's good. You deserve
people are being
it.
Really
well, we
nice.
Were talking about that too in Winnipeg, where it's like, you know, this is the comeuppance for a life of like, you're either, like, if you're kind of a shitty person, your GoFundMe fizzles at about, might get up to 4 or 5 G's of like, and then people are like, he was actually kind of a prick. Like, your GoFundMe is a direct reflection of the impact you had on people's life. Like, if people are like, I really enjoyed spending time with that person, I'm going to help them out, you know?
Yeah.
And so because your GoFundMe surpassed a lot of people who are like, yeah, whatever, like, fucking that person was kind of shitty.
I may not have ever won a Canadian Comedy Award,
and also
but
you,
I think
and,
I won the GoFundMe.
And you also toured a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing. I
right?
also was like
I've
toured
a lot
of people.
Yeah, I know
people.
Everybody. You know,
up and down.
Like, you know way more people than me in comedy. Like, I've kind of just done Alberta and like Toronto 15 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
It's never worth it to go anywhere, but you're always like, I got a tour.
Yeah.
So there's all these people that know you coast to coast.
Yeah.
That are like, Kathleen.
That's helpful too.
I'll give her a buck or two. I'll give her $1.
I'm appreciative of all of it. It's fucking crazy.
I won't turn down anything.
It's fucking nuts.
Small donation, small dollar. You're a small dollar lady. It's called small dollar donating or some shit. I heard about it with politics. Like, yeah, I don't
like
know.
Donating $2?
Trump is like a small dollar donation politician.
Because
all the establishment money goes to the other phonies like Ron
all, like,
DeSantis.
$10 and
but
$20
donations. He's a small dollar guy. He's a fuck the Trump supporters that whenever they have an extra $2, they throw it down on Trump.
Yeah.
That's you.
I'm Trump. I'm the Trump of Canadian
I'm
comedy.
The Donald Trump. Oh, well. Well, thanks for being on your podcast again. Thanks for doing it again. I don't know what episode this is.
Who knows? We'll just keep going.
Yeah, we'll just keep doing it, you know? I mean, this week I feel bad because I was like, I was at my kitchen like, fuck!
Yeah, at 7:30.
Like, I was at my oven cutting peppers, and I'm like, just going to make a little dinner, and what am I forgetting? And then it just fucking, like, oh, fuck. What time is it? 7:35. What time was I supposed to be there? 7:30. Oh, my God.
You're worth waiting around for.
And then my family's like, where are you going? You're going to just cut a pepper and leave? I'm like, I got to get out of here. And then, my wife was like, are they still doing it? I'm like, I'll drive, and then they can cancel while I'm driving. And then as soon as you get to that 109th shit, you're like, what the fuck? Like, I should have been here 15 fucking minutes ago.
The traffic is so dumb.
And
there.
I did, like, one of the, I don't know if this is asshole, but, like, everybody, there's, like, two lanes, right? Because one of them's closed.
Yeah.
And then people started, like, filtering into the third one. And after that happened, like, 4 times, and every light would change, and then 3 cars would move. And I was like, no, I'm not letting this happen. So then I pulled out into that lane and stayed there so that people were, like, stuck behind me
I
if they tried.
It.
And I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not letting this happen. But people were like honking at me. And I'm like, what did you think? You thought you could just fucking bust up past all of us?
Yeah,
like,
fuck you. Fuck you.
I got a podcast.
I'm trying to get to a podcast.
I've got an emergency podcast.
Well, our listener will be happy we're back.
Do we? Who was our
Dick.
Listener? Dick. Yeah.
We got Dick.
He's gone.
No, Dick will come back.
You think Dick will come back
Dick
if there's a special episode?
Dick always comes back.
Dick always comes back.
Dick always comes back. Dick can't stay away.
Dick can't stay away. Dick will stick
We
to
didn't
us.
Even get a scratchy ticket. That's okay. We'll do it next
Well, at least you've
week.
Given up on something. You know? We don't have any hope for that anymore. I bet you we've saved people money.
Probably.
That would have done been scratchy people.
But they're
that
like,
are
wow,
like,
they've proved that
they really
is a scam.
Lost every fucking week. For
yeah.
2 years, they
yeah.
lost money.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Thanks for being on your podcast. We'll see you next week.
See
thanks
you
for
next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for listening, somebody.